You're tuned to the Texas Standard. I'm David Brown. When Justice Louis Brandeis described the states as laboratories of democracy, he couldn't have foreseen Election Day 2016. As the New York Times noted yesterday, the most popular illicit drug in the nation could well be legalized for recreational use in 5 more states this November, bringing the total number to 10 plus D.C., a watershed challenge to the enduring federal pot prohibition. But even putting aside the popular vote for a moment, Bill Martin, the head of the drug policy program at Rice University's Baker Institute for Public Policy, noticed something odd as the institute completed an update of its 40-year-old database on drug use in the U.S. Namely, he noticed that the data and the policies just didn't add up. Dr. Martin, welcome to the Standard.
Well, I'm glad to be here, David.
What facts in this data do you think would surprise the regular layperson the most?
The charts that we have at the Baker Institute Drug Policy website shows the use of these drugs by ever used in a lifetime, used in the last year, used in the last month. Mm-hmm. Nearly 50% of people have used marijuana in their lifetimes, but only about 8% in the last month. So actually, marijuana is not even a gateway drug to even the more marijuana use. When you get down to cocaine and heroin, it's far less than 0.1%.
But let's talk about something that right now seems to be quite the scourge in the United States. We're talking about opioids, most notably a transition from prescribed pills to cheaper heroin on the streets. This is seen as a national health crisis. Does your data support that?
The data don't support that it's a national crisis. It is serious where it occurs. We don't want to detract from that at all. But it's really, you have it in New Hampshire, the Southwest, and particularly in the states in Appalachia around where the steel mills closed, in Indiana and Ohio and Kentucky and West Virginia. Mm-hmm. It's really pretty localized there. But it's really not so much a rise in opioid use as it is a switch from pharmaceuticals, but the overall use of heroin is still only about 0.2%.
What about the policies themselves and how they line up with the data?
Our national drug policies, our media presentations, and public perception have really been quite disconnected from these data. Most people who use these drugs stop using them. It's very closely correlated with age, with a rising a little bit in adolescence, peaking at about 18 to 20, 21, and then dropping right on off, so that by the time people get to be 25 years old, there's really much less drug use than there was at that peak. We have arrested people when most of them were in a natural process of getting well. So if we treated our drug use as a public health problem rather than as a crime, we would have so much less problems that the war on drugs, that prohibition has created.
Some people listening to you might say, well, in a sense, the reason that you're seeing the data play out as you are is because we have had a drug policy that's been fairly aggressive. Once you lift those policies, we might actually see the data shift to where we have more long-term use and this spreads out. How will you answer that?
The rates of use are just about the same as they were when the war on drugs and the DEA were begun back in the 1970s. Our charts show that it's about 21 to 22 million people have a substance use disorder in a given year. That is very stable over long periods of time. People develop the problems, they move out of it, most of them on their own without recovery programs, without 12 steps. More than two-thirds of the drug problem in our country is alcohol alone. Illicit drugs make only about a fifth of substance use disorder in this country.
So if you could direct policy, how would you restructure things?
With marijuana, I think it should be legalized. I personally would not prefer an all-out commercialized model the way we have in Colorado, for example. I think even for heroin, there are countries that provide heroin addicts a serious addiction with pharmaceutical-grade heroin, given in sterile settings with sterile needles. The Swiss began that in 1990, and there have been no overdose deaths for people participating in that program in 26 years.
And yet, there doesn't seem to be an overall wholesale willingness on the part of the American electorate to get rid of drug prohibition in the United States. Why do you think that is? I mean, if the data doesn't really support it.
You can see that the attitudes have changed so much toward marijuana. They have changed toward needle exchange programs for injecting drug users to limit the spread of blood-borne diseases. Change is coming, and those of us who've been working in drug reform for a long time feel like, for the first time, the wind is at least a little bit at our backs.
Bill Martin leads the drug policy program at the Baker Institute. We'll have a link to his data at texasstandard.org. Dr. Martin, thank you so much.
Well, thank you, David. I really enjoyed it.